I was married from home, and I'll die in America.
Welcome to our group.
And this ought to show it right here.
Do you or someone you know suffer from depression? If so, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
Good evening and welcome to the Defender 7 Medical Tuesday Night Broadcast with your host, Colonel Kimberly Purvis. And before we get on with it, I need to read a disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed on Defender 7 radio show and face page are those of the callers and or authors and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the Defenders 7. Again, welcome everybody. For those of you new just tuning in, we also have a website. Type in all lowercase letters, www.defenders, Roman numeral V as in Victor, with two small I's, .com. On our website, you'll find that we have a store and a donate button. 100% proceeds from the sales from our store and any donations go back to our communities 100% throughout all 50 states in a time of need. So please, by all means, purchase something or hit that donate button. Every bit helps. That's the only way that we can do what we are here to do with the Defender 7. So help us to help you and your communities. You can visit our national page on Facebook by typing in the search box, all capital letters, Defenders 7. That's Defenders, Roman numeral V as in Victor, with two large I's. Now, before you click on that join button, just know we expect all of our members and future members to participate throughout everything we do in the Defender 7. You find it's not for you, you can always leave with no hard feelings. We're also on YouTube, which our Colonel Kimberly Purvis has been doing an awesome bang-up job with putting it together. Please go there and hit subscribe. We're also on MeWe. If you click on organizations and scroll down to Defenders 7, Humanitarian American Patriot Group. Now for tonight and all the shows we do here on Blog Talk Radio, number to call. We love it when you call in with your input just to say hello or just to listen. But please, by all means, also click on that like button. It helps generate money for the group. And that number to call, area code 914-205-5773. Again, number to call to participate, area code 914-205-5773. Phone lines are open. Please, everybody, start calling in. I'd like to welcome and turn over the microphone to your host, our Colonel Kimberly Fervis.
Hello. How are you?
How are you, dear? I'm hanging in there.
Not too bad. I tried to make a list of things that have to be done today because, you know, I have, like, zero motivation. I got most of it done. Most of it. But it's hard. I don't know. I just hate not having any motivation. Of course, I did go off all on medication except my blood pressure medicine. Oh, excuse me. So I know it's an adjustment. I'm just tired of taking it. I'm done with all of the crap that they give you. You know, I'm also trying to figure out something. If that's part of my issues that I'm having, with gaining weight, the way I feel and stuff, you know, I've just
right.
I'm like, no, I'm done. I mean, it's hard. It is an adjustment. I'm telling you. Because you have to wean yourself off, and then because you can't just quit cold turkey. I don't recommend it to anybody to do that, but this is a personal choice that I'm making. You know, I've got to take the blood pressure medicine, though. I can't stop that. So, but we'll see. And I've finally been able to start eating almost normal. I swear, if anyone has celiac and you get gastritis, just pray it's short, because this was only been a little over a week. Last time was 2 weeks long that I was sick. So, but other than that, everything's going all hunky dory. So
good.
Yeah. And my dogs are still aggravating the piss out of me. Yeah, I gave a little heifer a bath, and now she's rolling in dirt again. She's filthy again today.
Oh, yeah.
I give up. I mean, it's like, whatever, dog. Yeah, I hate you.
They're as bad as kids.
Oh, I know. So, So I thought I'd do something different because I know it's like on last night's show, we kind of like you waste about 10-15 minutes and you'll end up figuring out what to do for another show. This topic, it's an unusual one actually. Everybody knows, I'm sure everybody knows about the magnetic poles, not the magnetic poles, but the Earth's magnetic field and what it's responsible for. And, you know, like just like same thing as the birds, they use the magnetic field for their sense of direction and the whales and dolphins and all that cool stuff. But apparently this is something that people can do that they probably didn't even know they could. And it's called pre-earthquake sensitivity. They call it earth-sensitive people. Along with that, have you guys ever heard someone say they smell rain coming?
Yeah.
That you could act. Okay, I could smell rain. And
oh, I can
like,
too.
What the hell? You can't? Okay. I'm glad I'm the only one. Even if you drive by a lake, a large body of water, can you smell the lake, the water from
yep.
the lake?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Well, like smelling the ocean, that's totally different. Everybody can do that. You know.
Same thing. It could be sunny out. But I
yep.
feel that I can feel when a storm is going to be coming in.
Yeah, I mean, well, see, now is that because of arthritis or just because of something that you can?
And I'm guessing it's because of the arthritis and the, my lower back.
Oh, yeah. And Grandma could tell you. Yeah, because Grandma could tell you the same thing, too. She's better than a weatherman.
Really?
But, yeah, you can. Now, I mean, aside from the fact that if you look at your radar, you look at the clouds outside, but it's different because you can sometimes, I mean, a lot of times I can, you can actually smell rain before it happens. The same thing, you know, it's like you're not a human barometer, but I guess that's what you'd call it. But apparently people have the same effect with earthquakes and other things as well. So, no, we're not crazy people. And the reason why I thought about going over this and looking it up, couple days ago? I was up till 4 o'clock in the morning. And I was laying in bed. And I felt my bed
just shake.
So, but I was it was 1:59 a.m. I don't know what made me think about it. I guess because I thought we had a minor earthquake that we normally do in our unusual area, but we didn't have one. It was 100 miles away that actually had the earthquake at 1:59 a.m., the same exact time that I woke up. And so I said, well, maybe that's because a lot of times I'll feel that. And my son, Patty's like, no, I didn't feel anything. And I could sit on the couch. I've never thought about looking it up, but I might have to start doing that. Just write it down or something, and I'll look it up later on. Or I've also chalked it up to the house being haunted. I prefer being earth sensitive. I swear my dogs are something sensitive. Jeez. So sensitives will often have an uncomfortable symptoms associated with earthquakes, strong winds, volcanic eruptions, avalanches, hurricanes, tsunami. This even goes to violence, suicide bombers, even global political unrest. I don't know how that is, but hey, we're just going to cover the weather. Well, earthquakes, not weather, but so. And no. Trying to figure out what sensitives are feeling and how their symptoms are triggered, medical doctors notice that some people seem to be sensitive around an MRI machine. As these patients move briskly near the machine, they can experience dizziness and nausea. So that's why they're saying, wouldn't it make sense that the earth occurrences may be magnetically related? I just don't like MRIs because I'm claustrophobic myself. But also, look at just take for example, if you suffer from a lot of migraines, nausea, dizziness, out of the ordinary for no reason. I mean, I'm not saying you guys are, anybody is. I'm just saying, think about it. Also, look at it this way. If your inner ear is off balance, you will be dizzy, and you could have nausea, and all of that. So it's kind of like the same thing. If there's something off kilter, your body may feel it. Earth signals have not been reported to have a powerful magnetic field associated with them, so it isn't known why people experience dizziness and nausea with pre-earthquake sensitivity. Scientists now feel that symptoms are associated with atom changes. About a decade ago, some amateur experimentalists built a simple device they called a scalar beamer, which generated similar sensations as the Earth as earth energy. And the machine caused sedation in some people. And I'm about to bring up our favorite subject, Bobby. I wonder if it was tied into the HAARP project in some way.
Anything's possible.
Then we
become major conspiracy theories.
No, I know. I'm not going that. Well, see, the thing about HAARP, you know, what was HAARP supposed to do? HAARP is supposed to affect the weather, right?
Exactly,
okay.
And it does.
So if it could affect weather, why couldn't it affect people? And because, you know, you got chemical reactions in your body, but I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying this is research that I've done, and this is off of natural health techniques off of the USGS webpage, actually. That's where I got this. But supposedly the HAARP project was shut down in 2014, which we know how much the government tells the truth. By altering the design of the beamer, they were able to cause extreme stimulation and even a numbness in the hands and arms lasting over an hour from just 5 minutes of experimenting. And delving into the experiment further, it was found that human mitochondria within cells contain 12 pole motor generators that actually pump an electrochemical charge in either direction. So perhaps that charge is the reason why, now I don't believe in this. They call it yogis. I don't know what the abbreviation stands for, why they can levitate. I have no idea what the hell that has to do with anything. And that's exactly what it says in this article. It says, there's a certain one in India that have more mitochondrial activity than other clients who don't meditate. So I don't know how true that is, but that's just further into the research, which I'm probably going to look into also. It says, who knows? Other researchers think that earth-sensitive people somehow feel electrical fields, which cause a set of symptoms during an earth change. Also, go next to an electrical fence. You could actually feel it. The closer you get to that fence, as long as it's hooked up and it's charged, like the hair will stand up on the back of your neck or on your arms.
Pee on it, too.
You could actually, you pee on it. I don't know how true it is with like the electrical fences for cows and horses, but I know like we had one for our dogs, and if you put one hand on the fence and you have on rubber shoes, you won't get shocked. But the minute you take your shoes off, your happy ass gets shocked. But it's just like that. It's on a bigger scale, though. You know. So if you think about it, I know some of these movies are kind of stupid, like The Core, where the core of the Earth stopped rotating, and it affected the seagulls or whatever the hell they were, and they all started flying everywhere into the buildings. That's because that's how they fly, by the Earth's magnetic field. So that the thing about it is, it's not going to kill you. Okay, the Earth's magnetic field. Hopefully, it wouldn't. So far, they said that. It's not life-threatening or anything like that. It just kind of, you know, makes you feel weird. So this person, whoever wrote the article, says their personal feeling is that sensitives are somehow tuned into the global grid and like the movie Indigo, which I'm going to watch, apparently, because I have no idea what it's about. It says what they have learned from their research on this topic is that machines to measure Earth activity are getting more sensitive, and that someday we'll be able to detect Earth changes before they happen. Hopefully this will give us more time to prepare for disasters. Now, they do have seismometers and all that cool gadgets for eruptions, for volcanic eruptions. They do have them for some earthquakes. But earthquakes, they don't have a whole lot of time, you know. And the same thing with hurricanes. You know, you could see them off days ahead, maybe a week ahead of time. I mean, that's, you know, whatever. But and tornadoes, they do have warning systems, but they're hoping that more and more people that are sensitive can actually help in some way. Larry Park, a senior systems hardware engineer, discovered that earthquakes can disrupt utility power grids, severely damaging microelectronics. Larry invented a machine to mimic earthquake energy, calling it the electrostatic scalar detector sensor. And its function was to find unknown faults in the earth. Faults were strong emitters of these mysterious earth signals. And the machine let out a chirp every 20 minutes for up to 3 days prior to an earthquake. When researching this topic, though, Larry Park no longer had a website, but there were some articles written about it in his research. So it says, from the article, it says, their experience that females who are perimenopausal or postmenopausal seem to be more in tune with these frequencies. But there are a few, you know, sensitive men. I don't like the term sensitive. That makes you sound so... You know, saying just like, I don't know, a snowflake. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. So this is saying that people who can feel it, you get headaches, nausea, dizziness are the most common symptoms associated with pre-earthquake events. Feeling like you're going crazy when it's normally not your nature. One person recounted that they felt like her body gravity had tripled. I guess that would be like if you're sedated. You know when, like, if you've had surgery and you come out of sedation, I guess that might be what they're referring to. Like, your body weighs like 1,000 pounds and you can't pick. Have you ever felt like that, Bobby? Like, you just could not lift your head up off the bed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
See, I got it, like that a couple weeks ago. And I swear to God, remember I was telling you, I could not literally get, it felt like my body was under, like, water, and I could not move. So I just lay there and slept. So, I mean, I'm going to actually start looking more into this, because this does sound really weird. Temporary changes in depth perception. Mine suck. I don't know if it has anything to do with all the TBIs I've had. I got very poor depth perception sometimes. Increased clumsiness. If you're not a clumsy person, and then all of a sudden you just start tripping and falling everywhere. Now, don't get me wrong. People do have, like, orthostatic hypotension. Syncope and things like that. So don't say, oh, that's just the weather. No. If you normally don't have these things, is what they're saying. So by all means, if you have any issues with your health, go see your doctor. And if they rule out everything, then there could very well be, you could be an earth-sensitive person, what they're talking about. It says increased drug abuse in an attempt to dull the feelings of stress and anxiety around those events. Increased emotions of neediness, obsessiveness, anxiety, or crabbiness. Wow. Low rumbling or idle diesel engine sounds in the ears. That's actually been reported by a few people living around Taos, New Mexico, and they call it the Taos hum. and these signals have not been found to be true sounds, nor are they radio waves. Well, that's pretty weird. Migraines, like I've had this. I've had CAT scans, EEGs, audiograms, and nothing. The only thing when they did my MRIs and stuff, they did find that I've had TBI, but everything else I have is normal. They just don't understand why I've got so many migraines. Mood swings of all types and durations. Now, I don't know about you or anybody else. When I get dizzy and nauseous, I do get moody sometimes because I just don't like the way it makes me feel. So that could be something else we're talking about. Feelings like you're going to explode 24 to 36 hours prior to a very strong earthquake, where many people will be harmed with that earthquake. I do also want to add to this. I don't know if anybody knows about empaths and all that. And you're in tune with people's emotions. A lot of this sounds the same thing as what an empath goes through, that you could sense somebody's, you know, and if you don't know how to, I don't want to say tune it out, but deal with it, you can go crazy, and it will makes you feel like you're losing your mind. Richter scale events greater than 6.0 or earthquakes that are strong enough to cause injury generate roller or jerky wave sensations. These symptoms happens to some people who can feel the earthquake's rolling precursory waves as sensations and can determine from which direction they are coming. Also, it's saying like the movie Phenomenon with John Travolta. The way he, that's some of this explains like what he went through. But he also had a brain tumor. But they're talking about how he can sense certain things. If you see auras around people. Now, I don't understand this one. And when I read it, I was like, okay. This is a sudden craving for popcorn may indicate an earthquake or volcanic eruption within 12 to 24 hours. That's definitely something else. But apparently some people have gone through all of this stuff. I guess you could say, shit, I don't even know how you can explain that one. Short duration, a muscle jolt in a hand or foot, temporary blurred vision, temporary headaches that resolve like within 15 minutes after an earthquake, tinnitus, high or low tones, screeching ear tones, intense ear pain in one or both ears, and this may progress to hearing voices, seeing ghostly images, or having your dreams disturbed. And they call this Sherpa ear when it happens with avalanches. I have actually, it's the cartilage, not the inner ear, but I've actually had mine hurt where if I pull my earlobe, the pain will begin to diminish. So a lot of this stuff I've just overlooked, you know, over my, you know, life and not thinking anything of it, especially the tinnitus. But I don't get that a whole lot. So what they're saying is things that may help, keep up with your B vitamins, hormone balancing, like if your estrogen or testosterone, progesterone, all those, like I said, because it could be something else to make sure that that's not what it is. You can also try meditation, prayer, or grounding exercises. I mean, all of that stuff works because you need to relax, and I think that they think that's part of it if you're highly stressed. So there actually is a link on here, and this is how I found it. And it takes you to the USGS, and there's one for HARP. And then there's a, when it says about symptoms controversy, there's another website on here. It's nexusmagazine.com. I mean, there's a bunch of things on here that talk about that. So let's go on to the USG. Wait a minute. Oh, I hate these articles. They start sending me all this crap. I can't read the articles. Okay. So on Smart News, it's from the Smithsonian. Remember, I hate, don't, if you can avoid it, don't go to Wikipedia if you want to look anything up. You could use it as a starting point. There's a lot of things on Wikipedia that information can be changed. So I've been told. I don't know how to do it, but hey. So apparently it says some people's brains can sense Earth's magnetic field, but no, it doesn't mean we have magnetoreception or superpowers. It just means your body is sensitive to any change on any level. Also, I guess you could compare this to flying. When you're flying and the change in altitude, a lot of that is what they're also speaking about, how not everybody's affected by it. Your ears pop and all that cool stuff, same thing. Not everybody's affected by it. Okay, I got to make this larger because I can't read this little tiny ant writing. If I can make my – ah, there we go. Damn it. Made it too big. I'm half blind, sorry. So there's a pretty long catalog of animals that appear to process or possess magnetoreception or the ability to detect Earth's magnetic fields. Pigeons, dogs, trout, okay. Bees, turtles, and salamanders. But researchers have never been able to determine if humans have this hidden superpower as well. Despite decades of attempts, a provocative new study published in the journal eNeuro suggests our brains may indeed detect magnetic fields, at least in some people, though it's not possible to say if it affects human behavior in any way or your health, like serious health problems. So it says, yeah, we're not cousins of Magneto, by the way. and they're not talking about like that. That's a little far-fetched. So currently scientists are still trying to figure out how magnetoreception works in animals. Eric Hand at Science reports that most of what we know about magnetic sense comes from behavioral studies of animals, which change the way they orient themselves or navigate if the magnetic field is manipulated. Dogs will orient themselves along the north-south axis of Earth's magnetic field. Oh, that is true. I thought that was a lie. So when they poop, apparently, they will align themselves with the north-south axis. I thought that was a joke, actually, in another movie. Also, if you notice, cows, when a storm comes, they will automatically turn and face the opposite direction. They will not face the direction of which a storm comes. So it hits them in the butt first. That I did know. There are currently two major hypotheses. One involves cryptochromes, specialized proteins in the retina that somehow communicate magnetic information to the brain. The other hypothesis is that microscopic particles of the mineral magnetite sit in the certain receptor. Sorry, magnetite sit in certain receptor cells in the ear or behind the nose and work as a biological compass. George Vorsky at Gizmodo reports that lead researcher of the new study, I hate these guys' names. Where in the world did they get them from? Joseph Kershevink, a geophysicist from Caltech, who has been investigating magnetic fields and Bobby, I'm going to give you all the hard words to pronounce. Good God. magnetoreception for decades, decided to bypass questions about how the scent might work and focus on whether there were signs of magnetoreception in the brain at all. So they're still trying to figure it all out. But hey, so their approach was to focus on brainwave activity alone. Kershevink tells Vorsky, if the brain is not responding to the magnetic field, then there is no way that the magnetic field can influence someone's behavior. The brain must first perceive something in order to act on it. There is no such thing as ESP. Ha. Huh. I'm not sure about that one. A lot of people believe in ESP. But I think a lot of that is people know how to read other people. And I don't think it has anything to do, you know what I'm saying? Like they say a lot of Gemini, well, that's what I am. You pretty much know how to read people if they're bullshitting you, and you know you can kind of weed through the just. But a lot of it has to do with mannerisms and things. So I'm not saying ESP is fake or real. You know, that's like they say. I suffer from PMS and ESP, a bitch that knows everything. but do more research. If you're interested in it, I suggest do research on it. Don't just believe that because one person says it doesn't exist, that doesn't mean that it doesn't. They just don't believe in it. So to study brainwaves, the team constructed an elaborate chamber designed to block out all outside magnetic activity, electrical impulses, and sound. Electrical coils inside the chamber produced a magnetic field that could be manipulated by researchers. Okay. For the experiment, the team studied 34 individuals who wore a special device that monitored their brainwaves. The subjects each sat in a total darkness for an hour as researchers rotated the artificial magnetic field around them looking for signs that the brain detected movements. The experimenters recorded dips in the amplitude of alpha brainwaves in a third of the participants. And the dips were most pronounced with a 25% change in amplitude when the magnetic field in front of the subject was pointed north and swung from the northeast to the northwest in a counterclockwise motion. People did not seem to respond to the magnetic fields pointed to the south. So a week later, four participants were retested with the same results. So apparently, yeah, people can. But don't forget, when you have an EEG done, you have a little, you know, it looks like you got a little space helmet on with all the wires. I've had that. It sucks. That's how they test for people's brainwaves. Also, if they're in a coma, they want to test your brain activity. So there's just so much about the human body and the brain that it's ongoing. And we just don't know everything that the human body can understand. So Vorsky reports that typically alpha brainwaves are usually produced by neurons when they aren't processing any sensory information. The brainwaves tend to decrease when some sort of stimulus is introduced. So the drop in alpha waves is an indication that the brain may be processing some sort of information from the magnetic field. Magnetoreception expert Peter Hoare, poor guy, from the University of Oxford, who studies navigation in birds. He tells Maria Temming at Science News, the results seem plausible, but they need replication, including a similar experiment in the Southern Hemisphere before they'll be completely convinced. It's kind of intriguing to think that we have a sense of which we're not consciously aware. He was not involved in the study, but extraordinary claims need extraordinary proof. And in this case, it includes being able to reproduce it in a different lab. See, that's how it works in science. You've got your, kind of like with vaccines, which you've already learned anyway from our history of vaccines, that you've got to have your control group, and then you have to have the other group. Same thing with any type of scientific experiment. You can't go willy-nilly and say, okay, I took 34 people and 25% of them did this, so yeah, it's real. No, you got to repeat it to see if you get the same result. Now, they would have to do it again on the same group and then repeat it again in a different group of people. So that's just the way science works. But not everyone thinks that the alpha waves indicate any sort of undetected sense. If I were to stick my head in a microwave and switch it on, I would see effects on my brain waves. Well, I don't know if anyone would do that or if you even can do that. That doesn't mean we have a microwave sense, and not to mention you can't turn a microwave on anyway with the door open. Margaret Ahmad, a biologist at the Sorbonne University in France, tells Cervic that magnetic fields are known to affect human and mammalian cells in a dish. Okay. I'm not surprised there is an effect. Ahmad was not involved in the original study. There's something in a cell that is different in the presence of a magnetic field. We see this effect in human embryonic kidney cells. You're not going to convince me that an effect in brain cells is any greater or lesser significant. So this person's like dead set. Because of the studies they've done. Kirschvink, for one, does think the data is the first sign of magnetoreception. Aristotle described the five basic senses as vision, hearing, taste, smell, and touch. However, he did not consider gravity, temperature, pain, balance, and several other internal stimuli that we now know are a part of the human nervous system, and our animal ancestry argues that geomagnetic field sensors should also be representing not the sixth sense, but perhaps the 10th or 11th human sense to be discovered. That's deep. That goes, I don't know, a lot of people have a sixth sense or whatever you want to call it. But hey, like if you can sense, like, do you feel like, I know people say they have the sense like someone's staring at them and they could be behind them and they really are staring at them. So I guess that's part of what they're talking about. I'm not sure what else I think that's the biggest one. You know what I'm saying? When someone feels like someone's staring at them, even if it's in the dark. Bobby, I'm sure you've had your kids wake you up in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 inches from your face, and they scare the crap out of you because you feel them staring at you. Have they done that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You want to slap the crap out of them, but it scares you so bad. That you end up scaring them. My kids have done it. And it's like, it's one of those things. That's what I'm saying. And you're sound asleep. So, like I said, there's a lot of things about the human brain and the body that we have no clue about. And supposedly we only use, 8 to 10% of our brain?
Right.
Supposedly. That there's no way that we could ever use all of our brain. I know we have, like, redundant systems in the different lobes in our brain. They said my oldest has a brain lesion in her left temporal lobe, And the reason why they're not going to remove it, where it's at, it's in a redundant location of the brain. So they're just going to leave it. There was no need of removing it, actually. And that's what was causing her to have seizures. In an article at The Conversation, it's actually an actual magazine, he and his co-authors say there are many questions that the study raises, including whether individuals with weak or strong responses to the magnetic field have varying navigation abilities, whether people can be trained to sense magnetic fields, and whether people with strong response to the field could actually be trained to feel it. But it is putting the cart before the horse. Critics say that those results need to be analyzed and replicated before we even come near that, to say trying to train pilots to sense true north, and it may not even be worth the effort. So our increasing reliance on GPS technology suggests that even when we can detect magnetic fields, few of us will ditch our cell phones for magnetic intuition unless it helps us find the closest Starbucks faster. Let me tell you something. I have no sense of direction coming home. I could get there, but for some reason, no. I think that has a lot to do with my my short-term memory.
Ten personalities?
Yeah, they're all sucking up my brain power. So if you think about it, if I got 10, then each of them 10 have 10% of my brain. Man, I should have 100% of my brain open.
Yeah.
No, seriously. When I go somewhere, I could get there fine. But when I come home, I know it's reversing the direction. But I don't know. It's just I'm like, ah, crap. That's why I go mostly places. Oh, I got to make a left at Burger King. Okay, so when I come home, it's make a right. So that's what I have to do most, or just use GPS, you know, because that's what we do. Let's see. Okay. Yeah, go to my next one. I don't know if this is one that's supposed to be. Oh, yeah. Okay. Here's another good. This one is from, actually it's from The Healing Body. And this is from Effects of Magnetic Fields on the Body. So this is taking a little bit of a different direction. This is away from the earthquakes and storms and this, that, and the other. This is from, like, your everyday devices. Televisions, computers, cell phones, alarm clocks, motors, office equipment, electrical wiring, microwave ovens, and electric blankets, power lines, radio and cell phone towers, fluorescent lights, smart meters, and Wi-Fi. Now, the thing about fluorescent lights, it is true. If you are an epileptic or prone to seizures, prolonged use around fluorescent lights can actually trigger a seizure. My daughter, my oldest, the one who had the seizures, she cannot be in fluorescent lighting for more than 3 hours at a time, or she will have a seizure. The same thing with computer use for her. A lot of people like that. Whatever the magnetic field that's from in a laptop, that's why it causes eye strain. You could get headaches. Yet again, that goes right back into the study what they were talking about. Now, I don't know if everybody can hear this. You ever go by power lines? Can you hear the hum of the electricity in the power lines? I can. Not all the time.
Yeah.
But I can hear it. It drives me nuts. Can everybody hear it? I don't know. Can you?
Yeah.
Kind of makes you feel like something's buzzing in your ear sometimes. And I'll sit there scratching my ear, and I'm like, oh, okay. Trying to think of some of the other. The same thing with, I don't know how much is true or not, with a cell phone. As far as causing cancer, if you're on your phone, like talking on it for hours upon hours, the same thing with, and I dare I say this, the 5G towers. I don't believe, no, they're not going to turn you into a zombie. which, and they, no, they don't cause viruses. That is the two dumbest things I've heard about these 5G towers.
Tim, what? Tim, you got to get your conspiracy right. The tower isn't going to turn people into zombies. It's the nanite in the virus reacting to the 5G towers.
I know. No, that's what I've heard, though, honest to God. I've heard this is the biggest conspiracy theory. They say that the 5G towers caused the coronavirus to spread.
No.
Okay,
the 5G towers
has nothing to do with the virus.
Right. Now, like any electrical tower, you know, 5G towers, yes, they're not good. They can affect you. It's been proven, but unfortunately
it's
not.
The radiation.
Right.
It's the amount of radiation that's emitted from
right.
it.
Right. Right. And,
now,
you know, and again, it's all relative. It's relative.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So, but yeah, and you're right. I know when I go past those big towers, I grew up in Central Islip when I was a kid. You know, we had family there. We used to go, there were like in the neighborhood, they had those great big towers, the metal ones. You know, and kids who, you could hear the hum, almost definitely hear the hum.
But see, not everybody can. That's what I'm talking about. That's why I was like, I wonder if all of this is tied together, but it is, apparently. It's all, now, is it a bad thing? No. It just means that your body is sensitive to a magnetic field that's around. It's, you have your own. I mean, your heart runs, you have your Purkinje fibers and all that cool stuff that makes the heart pump and beat and all that. And, you know.
Yeah, some people can hear at a higher pitch than others. They've actually done tests on that. You know, even with dog whistles, there are actually some people that can hear a dog whistle. You know, supposedly they're supposed to be at a frequency outside of the human ear.
Now, even though I've lost about 25% of my hearing in my left ear, I could still hear certain sounds, and I'm like, shh. And people are like, what? You didn't hear that? And I could actually hear a siren friggin' miles away, and they're like, how the hell did you know? I don't know. I just heard it. So, but I can't hear the person sitting next to me talk to me. And you'll notice with me, and just because I say, what? What'd you say? Doesn't mean I actually didn't hear you. This is something that I've done for a long time. I don't know why I do it. It's like, I know what you said. I just want you to repeat it to make sure I knew what I heard. So it does get aggravating a lot. And people think you're stupid, but no, it's just I've lost a lot of my hearing in my left ear, and which is, honestly, when I do these shows, my earpiece is in my right ear, not my left ear, because it's too muffled. That's why I hate wearing the little foamy ear things at the gun range. It drives me nuts. And I can only wear one of them. And I usually wear the one that's on the side of the person shooting. The same thing with television. One, you shouldn't watch TV in the dark because it strains your eyes. But I don't think there's really much to do with, like, I'm trying to think of, there's no real hum from your TV or anything like that. I do know one thing. Don't ever put a magnet up to your TV because you will jack up that magnet or your television. Yes, my brother did that while I was babysitting to the person's TV, and I had to take the magnet. You know all the colors? You'll see a picture. And I took that magnet. Believe it or not, it works. And you rub it really slow up the screen to the corner, and it will actually bring the picture back. I know absolutely nothing about TV pictures and all that crap, but I do know that it works. to the frequency at which a magnetic field is pulsed determines whether or not it's harmful. For example, the frequency of an electrical current used in homes in the United States is 60 cycles per second, or hertz. In contrast to normal frequencies of the human brain wave, during waking hours ranges from 8 to 22 hertz. And when you sleep, it drops as low as 2. Now, that probably has a lot to do with when you're sleeping, your body doesn't require as much effort. Like your respirations will go down, your heart rate will go down, your blood, everything will slow down when you're sleeping. And that's when you go into your REM sleep and all that. And to rejuvenate your body and restore your body. So the higher frequencies present in artificial electrical currents may disturb the brain's natural resonant frequencies and in time lead to cellular fatigue. So it could produce acid, produces oxygen deficiency, evokes cellular edema, often exacerbates existing symptoms, accelerates microorganism replication. It'll speed up an infection. Biological disorganizing, increases pain and inflammation. It can affect, governs your wakefulness and action, evokes catabolic hormone production, produces toxic end products of metabolism, produces free radicals, and speeds up electrical activity of the brain. The power and proximity of positive magnetic fields to your energy field are very important, and sources should be investigated with a Gauss meter, G-A-U-S-S. Is that Gauss? To understand the frequency. In addition to that, understanding how to neutralize these positive magnetic fields become very important. Positive magnetic fields have been associated with cancer, depression, chromosomal abnormalities, inflammation, and learning difficulties. I could see the cancer and your chromosomal abnormalities. I guess for depression, I mean, the one way to look at it is if it changes, it's like mood swings, and that's why you could be depressed. Not to mention you can have chemical imbalances, and that's enough to put anybody into depression anyway. But this is a really cool website, and if you want to, I can copy the link and send it to Telegram. I know you don't get on Facebook. And if anybody wants this, I can, I'll save the links and I'll post them to to the group page and stuff. Negative magnetic fields and their effects. Examples of negative magnetic fields that one may experience on a day-to-day basis include soil, rock, and salt. Body, if you're near the ocean, a lake, a river, plants, and the physiological effects of negative magnetic fields include normalizes pH, oxygenates your body, resolves cellular edema, usually will reduce your symptoms, inhibits microorganism replication, biologically normalizing, reduce pain and inflammation, governs rest and sleep, clears metabolically produced toxins out of the body, and eliminates free radicals. So I guess that's why they're talking about your positive magnetic field is what causes it, and then the negative gets rid of it. So let's see. And it also slows down the electrical activity of the brain. So in order to experience the most benefits of negative magnetic fields, one should not put their bare skin in direct contact with grass, soil, or bodies of water. Well, how the hell? I mean, if you're in the ocean, it's kind of hard not to put your body in contact with water. Wow. So that's a little confusing. But negative magnetic field therapy has been used effectively in the treatment of cancer, rheumatoid arthritis, infections and inflammation, headaches and migraines, insomnia and other sleep disorders, circulatory problems, fractures and pain, and environmental stress. So understanding the sources of negative and positive magnetic frequencies and how to avoid them and use effectively, there's a link to the source of this website that you can, and it actually talks about it. Derek Henry is the founder of Healing the Body, and the Thrive Academy uses nutrition, supplementation, and a holistic lifestyle to naturally unravel 13 chronic disease conditions that conventional or alternative medicine professionals couldn't help them resolve. So, hey, I think it's probably something to look into if you want to, anyone wants to do that. Let me see. Okay, hold on 1 second. I'm just trying to go through. I got like a bunch of articles here. Double up. Okay. Oh, I just went over that article. Well, damn. Any questions so far or comments or whatever?
I'm just listening.
No,
I'm in pain right now. I have
no,
a fungal ear infection.
Dr. Phil just got on.
Hey,
cool.
Everybody.
Hey.
Hey. So unless you can tell me how to get, I mean, I got an antifungal thing, and it worked this morning. It got rid of the pain and the itching. I put it on tonight, though, and it's not doing much good, so I'm doing hot compresses. I'm just not sure if it should be moist or dry, but at least it's helping. But I don't want to talk much. Because every time I move my jaw, it hurts. It's like the pain, and I mean, it's so swollen that the canal to my, you know, the inner ear is shut tight. I mean, you can, it's not open. Yeah, so I'm just listening with my other ear.
What happened? What happened to her?
I have a fungal infection in my ear. I've had issues with my one ear with scratching for a couple of years now, and my doctor was like, no, it's just dry skin. Well, yesterday, all of a sudden, I just had excruciating pain. My whole side of my face, it's on the outside, not the inside of the ear. A friend of mine, her husband had the same thing a couple of years ago. So she told me, you know, well, look at this, because I thought swimmer's ear. But no, I looked into the candida fungus or whatever, and what it describes is exactly what I have. And she recommended getting clotrimazole or something like that.
Yes, ma'am.
And I put it on, you know, I followed the instructions, and I had immediate relief. And even this evening, it did help, just not as much as this morning. So I did order something, a homeopathic treatment that her husband did, and she said it went away, and it hasn't been back. And that was a few years ago. So she's, you know, been doing this for years. The homeopathic, I mean, she's not just somebody, I mean, I've known her for a long time, and she does this stuff, so it's not the first time she's recommended stuff to our family that's turned out to be spot on, so I'm just waiting for my order to arrive.
Look up otitis externa
yes.
from asp- from aspergillosis.
Yes, yes. I did look up. That's what I looked up. Yes. That's what I thought I had. But then she said something else. Oh, what the hell did she say?
Otitis media would be
fungus,
the...
not swimmer's ear.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the fungus, but look up aspergillosis, because that's more common cause of a fungal infection in the external ear canal.
Than the candida.
Than the candida.
Yeah.
But,
yes.
I mean, not to say
yes.
that it doesn't happen, but, yeah, I would look up aspergillosis, and if I were you, I would stick some hydrogen. I'd stick some hydrogen peroxide in your ear.
Yes, that was one of the home remedies it recommended. Yes, I did. I looked up, they did say that one was more common, but it said the same basic treatment, an antifungal thing would be better. You know, the hydrogen peroxide I did try, but it didn't really stop the itching or the pain.
right. But yeah, you probably need a short course of Diflucan, which is an antifungal, and
right.
maybe a little bit of an in-ear steroid such as Ciprodex, Otic, or something like that to reduce the pain and the inflammation. But yeah, I've dealt with people with fungal ear infection. Now, are you immune compromised? Oh, okay.
No, I'm fine. That's why I said she, you know, recommended a homeopathic, a natural treatment that it's called, hang on, what the hell is it called? Hang on a minute, I can tell you what it's called. But at any rate, so I ordered this stuff, and it should be here soon. The it's like you do vials 1 through 10 and then 10 through 1 and – I forget what the heck it was called. I'm looking for it, but I don't want to take up time.
Well, did you have a culture of the
No, and I'm not going back
to
that. I asked the doctor 2 times to look at my ear, and both times she told me it was just dry skin. So I'm not going. No, that's okay. If this doesn't work, if I still have issues in a week or whatever, or it gets worse, then I will go to urgent care. I don't want to go deaf. But, but right now, it's in the outer canal, so you know, I'm not too worried yet. So I'm keeping an eye on it. I'm doing the hot compresses. Like I said, it speaking of fungi, it bloomed, for want of a better word. I mean, I've had it for 2 years and I've never had this before. I thought I had eczema in my ear.
Well, I'll make a recommendation for you, but don't quote me on this, and this is not what I would do. But if you think it's candida, then just get some Monistat, the cream from the Monistat, and put it on a Q-tip and put it in your ear. Have you ever used the Monistat cream before? Yeah, because that's what we use for the candidal infections, external to the vagina.
That's why she had recommended the
clotrimazole. It's very popular for athlete's feet.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, clotrimazole is good for athlete's feet.
C-L-O-T-R-I-M-A-Z-O-L-E.
There you go, clotrimazole.
Yeah.
But that's good for the athlete's feet.
That would be better.
Well, I'm saying Monistat would be better for candida because athlete's feet is more like a trichophyton type of fungus. So it's just more fungal specific if you believe it's candida. But like I said, the most common external ear infection with fungus is going to be aspergillosis.
Yeah, that's what I read too, that it was more common, but I thought it said it was the same treatment.
It's an antifungal, but it's more systemic with just a little external, because especially if you're having pain and inflammation going on at the same time.
Right.
I use, you know, with most ear infections, you know, you can use the external treatments, but then if there's, you know, pain and inflammation going on, that's more systemic. Then I'd rather treat you from the inside and from the outside. So I would treat you both ways. But do whatever works, whatever helps and makes you feel better. Sometimes
right.
the Benadryl
yeah.
even can help with
the steroid you think might help?
Well, sometimes the steroid makes the fungus grow more because it's kind of like an immune suppressive.
Oh, yeah, no then.
Yeah, so sometimes steroids can make fungal infections worse, but if you're treating with an antifungal such as Diflucan, then
right.
then maybe you can use a little bit of external steroid just for the pain and inflammation, but you don't want that to be the mainstay of your treatment.
No,
so
no,
what you're
no,
doing with an antifungal cream is fine.
Yeah, the pain ain't that bad. It's more annoying than anything because I can't focus on other things. And Tylenol and ibuprofen don't work.
Well, it's not going to work because you know you got a growth going on. The other thing is you're guessing, and the best thing to do would be get an ear culture and have them analyze it at the lab. For yeast and
like I said, you know, my next step, if it doesn't improve in the next day or two, I am going to go to urgent care. I'm just not going back to my doctor. She had her opportunity a couple of times. So, yeah,
I wish you the best of luck. I hope that helped you a little bit.
Thank you. I'll
You're
go
welcome.
Back to listening. I'm starting to hurt talking.
Let's see. I did find one more article. Hold on a second. I lost the title. What magnetic fields do to your brain and body? And this is from Discover Magazine. Let's see. Hold on a second. There's no escaping magnetic fields. They're all around us. For starters, the Earth itself is a giant magnet.
Hello?
A spinning ball of liquid iron
yeah,
and our planet's core.
You called in. He'll call you back.
Generates the vast magnetic field that moves our compass needles around and directs the internal compasses
right.
of migrating birds, bats, and other animals. On top of that, ever industrious humans have produced artificial magnetic fields with power lines, transport systems, electrical appliances, and medical equipment. You may not be able to see it, hear it, or feel it, or taste it, but some people can. And some may wonder whether they can still exert effects on our bodies and our brains. The question becomes more pertinent, and the answers are still more tantalizing as the strength of magnetic fields in question get cranked up. So everyday exposure. A magnetic field arises whenever a charged particle, like an electron or proton, moves around. Since the electric currents running through the blenders, hair dryers, and wires in the walls of our homes consist of flowing electrons, they all generate magnetic fields. Through these sources, the average person is exposed to magnetic fields reaching 0.1 microtesla in strength on a daily basis. By comparison, the Earth's magnetic field, which we are always exposed to as long as we remain on the planet's surface, unless we happen to move to Mars tomorrow, that's the only way to escape it. It's about 500 times stronger. That means the magnetic force penetrating your body as you lounge around your home or spend the day at the office is decidedly insignificant. So that's what I was saying. It's so, it's so small, like they said, it's not going to, or at least it shouldn't, in theory, damage the body. From time to time, a scientific study finds a link between having, living near high voltage power lines and illnesses. Heightened risk of childhood leukemia is the most commonly cited potential health consequences. But whether or not the risk is real has been hard to pin down. One glaring issue is that scientists have yet to figure out the mechanism by which such weak magnetic fields, which are still in the microtesla range for homes next to power lines, could adversely affect the human body. See, now, I never knew if, like they're saying, like living next to a lot of power lines or the massive ones, if that's really going to affect your body. I don't know. It'll affect your compass and some of your other stuff, you know, your other electronic stuff. In 2010, the International Commission on Non-Ionizing Radiation Protection concluded that the evidence that living near power lines increases the risk of the deadly blood cancer is too weak to form the basis for exposure guidelines. So,
it's because Dr. Fauci supported that research.
Which one?
That one. He supported it and said that, no, it's not hurting nobody because the power companies have paid us tons of money to say that. I'm kidding. Conspiracy.
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if you've listened to the whole show so far. How some people, they call them earth sensitive, how they can sense some things. Like some people can smell water. They can smell rain before it rains. Not everybody can hear like the buzzing of the power lines. Not everybody can. And how it affects your body. Or
I know people.
I should say,
I know people get headaches when they go underneath them.
Underneath what, the
people,
power lines?
When they're on high power lines, they get headaches.
Yeah, and that's what they were saying. Migraines, nausea, dizziness, and things like that. That I never noticed.
Mm-hmm.
I just live near. We just have normal power lines, so I take it they're talking about the inner city where it's big inner cities. That kind of power lines, or
did you see the movie Aaron Brockovich?
No, I heard of. I saw part of it, but no.
Yeah. I think it's similar. It has a similar theme about a lot of illnesses from people being around high-powered lines in California, based on a true story. And a lot of people were getting cancers and leukemias as a result of it. And the California Power and Light got sued for it. And so they ended up having to insulate their lines a lot better.
Oh, okay. That's kind of like people in New Hampshire, they call it the Granite State because that whole state is nothing but granite rock. And a lot of people started getting cancer. And they were saying, they were thinking, I don't know how far the study got, was because of the granite. But yeah, there was there was tons and tons of people getting cancer left and right. My ex-husband's family, 5 people got cancer within a few years. And not one type of cancer had anything to do with the other. And they're continuing. I mean, more and more of this family just keeps getting cancer. So I don't know if it's along the lines of genetic or just, you know, like being a smoker, getting lung cancer. Well, that's, of course, that's not genetic. So, but yeah, I don't know how granite really does affect people getting cancer or not. So they're saying, what's the threshold? Meanwhile, a team of scientists at the Utilities Threshold Initiative Consortium, UTIC, has been busy working to figure out the threshold at which a human body shows a physiological response to a magnetic field. And according to Alexander Legros, a medical biophysicist at the Lawson Health Research Institute and Western University in London, and he's also a scientist, the smallest magnetic field that has reliably been shown to trigger response in humans is around 10,000 to 20,000 microtesla. Now, what exactly is a microtesla in a form? I have to look that up because it's gonna.
Hold on a second. All right.
Oh. So microtesla metrology, an SI unit of magnetic flux density equal to 6. Well, that didn't really explain anything. So a Tesla is a derived unit of the magnetic B field strength and the international system of units. One Tesla is equal to one Weber per square meter. The unit was announced during the General Conference on Weights and Measures in 1960. And it was named after none other than Nikola Tesla. Upon the proposal of the Slovenian electrical engineer in France. Okay, so anyhow, but crucially, to produce the effect, the field cannot be static magnetic field. Rather, it must change directions over time. So when these strong direction-shifting magnetic fields get directed at a human, small electrical currents begin to pulse through the body. Above that threshold, the currents can stimulate supersensitive cells in the retina, known as graded potential neurons, giving the illusion of a white light flickering even when the affected person is in darkness. And these visual manifestations are known as magnetophosphenes. Now, when my ex-sister-in-law, she was close to having a detached retina. I don't know if they're talking, because they said if she starts seeing little flecks of light, that it's too late, that she's going to end up being blind in that eye. So I don't know if that's the same little white flickering light that they're talking about with the retina. But
no,
the 10,000,
I don't think
10,
so.
Huh?
Do I don't think so. Usually retinal detachment is associated with a curtain being drawn over the eye, like a black curtain coming down over the eye. That's usually associated with detached retina. White flashes, they call it scotomata. A lot of times it's associated with, impingement on the optic nerve is also an aura of a pending migraine headache. So a lot of times it's associated with ischemia in the blood vessels, impingement on the nerve.
Oh, okay.
But if it's retinal detachments, more so are associated with a curtain being drawn over the eye as things just slowly start going like black.
Oh, okay. That's what they told her, but this was like, many years ago.
Yeah.
But the 10,000 microtesla threshold is well above the strength of any magnetic field encountered in everyday life. So in what situations might magnetophosphenes occur? Let's see. There's only one circumstance in which you may perceive magnetophosphenes, says Legros. If you're in an MRI machine and moving your head fast. Yeah, that sucks. That's kind of like when if you move your head too fast, period, and you see that little flash. That's what I get. Okay. It's kind of like if you, and also it makes, for me, it makes it feel like my brain just bounced back and forth in my head. And you get to, and you have to stop because it just feels like it hurts, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Dix Hallpike.
What?
Oh, no, we call it the Dix Hallpike maneuver. Sometimes it will actually, by moving the head back and forth real fast, it'll actually correct a vertigo that you might having. You might be feeling dizzy or whatever, and we'll move your head back and forth real fast in a certain position. It's called the Dix Hallpike maneuver, and it'll help us correct sometimes vertigo if it's benign positional.
See, they never told
CMI,
me that
right?
Stuff. I mean, I have I have vertigo. But the only time my vertigo really acts up is if I'm near water, moving water, or height.
You get car sick?
No.
Do you get car sick? No?
No. Not anymore. I used to. Like if I go to the ocean and I'm standing on the shoreline, I cannot look down. because it throws me off, and I'm like, and I will fall over if I watch the water go behind me and then go back out. It really throws me off. Also, heights will do the same exact. I have the same exact feeling. And,
yeah, that's scary.
It is. I was at a river, and the water was just barely. And it was moving. It had a good current. You know, not going to carry you away or anything. But if you put a leaf in the water, it's gone. And I was sitting on a rock, and it was about sticking 2 foot above the water. To save my life, I could not jump off that rock. Could not. I was petrified for something, because the water was moving, and it did something to my brain, and I'm like, no, I can't do it. I had to sit down on the rock and ease myself into the water, because but that's the only time my vertigo ever really acts up. An MRI scanner is essentially a big magnet that produces a powerful magnetic field of around 3 Tesla or 3 million microtesla, millions of times larger than the fields we're normally exposed to. But because it's a static magnetic field, MRI scanners don't exert any noticeable effect on the body. That would change, however, if the patient inside the scanner were to rapidly move his or her head back and forth. Or if they have metal in their body.
Well, it's contraindicated for that.
Pacemakers and other I can't even wear my glasses inside to get an MRI done. I have to actually leave them outside. Moving quickly induces a time-varying field. So by doing that, you're inducing currents into different structures of your brain. Those currents may lead to nausea, loss of balance, and a metallic taste in your mouth, or in some cases, magnetophosphenes. On par with the magnetic field of an MRI is the one produced by a medical procedure known as transcranial magnetic stimulation, TMS. But unlike an MRI, which makes detailed pictures of the inside of the body, the purpose of a TMS is to stimulate the brain. I've actually never heard of that.
Have you ever heard of the spinal column stimulator?
Yeah.
You've heard of a spinal column stimulator? They'll put a couple electric leads along your spinal column on each side, and it's like a TENS unit, but it's internal. And that's stimulating, you know, a little electricity or magnetic field across the spinal column. Well, what they're talking about is they'll put one inside your brain.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've heard about the spinal cord stimulator. My friend of mine who's in the military with, I guess she got injured so bad she could no longer walk. And they did that. And then with physical therapy and other types, she's able to walk now. But she was, I don't know if it was because she was in so much pain that she couldn't walk, and that's why they did the spinal cord stimulation. But she said it worked.
That's good.
She's the only person that I've ever heard. That's the only reason why I've heard of it, is because of her. So that task requires an electric current, which is why TMS relies on a magnetic pulse rather than a static magnetic field. When this pulse is delivered via an electromagnetic coil placed against the scalp, the resulting current jolts a particular part of the brain with the aim of treating a neurological disease like depression. Well, shit. Let's get a magnet and stick it to our head, Bobby. See if it works. He must be napping.
Or you gotta wear the tinfoil inside your hat.
I'm here.
He's got the tinfoil inside his baseball cap.
Oh yeah, so you're gonna have to take the tinfoil cap off. Yeah, us tinfoil cap wearers. Well, I didn't know that. It could treat depression. That's
It's theoretical, man. It's theoretical.
It's theoretical?
It's theoretical? Okay.
Yes. Yes.
So out of this world magnetic fields, the magnetic fields associated with the MRI and TMS are the strongest that a human might realistically be exposed to. Still, they are hilariously punny compared to those found beyond our planet, says Paul Sutter, an astrophysicist at Ohio State University and chief scientist at the Causey Science Center in Columbus, Ohio. At the extreme lies the apparent, aptly named magnetar. Okay, geez, I can't even read. Which is a rare type of neutron star with a magnetic field 1,000 trillion times stronger than Earth. Wow. And it looks pretty cool. They got a nice picture of it. If any human ever got close to a magnetar, they would quickly find them in dire straits. Strong magnetic fields can start to do surprising things. At the atomic level, the strong magnetic fields would move all of the positive charges in your body into one direction and the negative charges the opposite direction. He explains spherical atoms would stretch out into ellipses as soon as and then soon would start to resemble thin pencils. Sounds like spaghettification. But what happened if the world goes to a black hole? The drastic change in shape would interfere with basic chemistry, causing the normal forces and interactions between atoms and molecules in the body and break down. The first thing you would notice is your entire nervous system, which is based on electrical charges moving throughout your body and is going to stop working. And then basically you dissolve. Well, that just sounds so painful. Glad we don't live near that star. Sutter guarantees that our local neighborhood, which he defines as a radius of a few hundred light years around Earth, has been surveyed and certified magnetar-free. None of these exotic objects are approaching us, and none of the massive stars nearby are likely to turn into magnetars when they die. The nearest magnetar is a safe distance of tens of thousands of light years away. So, at least for the time being, we can rest and take easy and comfort in our planet's own meager magnetic field. And that is the last article that I have. Anybody got any questions or anything else?
Yeah, got a question.
Sure.
Okay, so the Earth has what they call magnetic lines of flux. And these magnetic lines of flux give us, our latitudes and longitudes. And I'm just wondering if it's more magnetic at the poles versus the equator.
That's a good question. Well, I know right now they said they do have proof that the magnetic fields are reversing right now. The poles, they've already started shifting. Well, that's a good possibility.
Curious, yeah. It's good info.
They
sell special ionized suits to prevent magnetic effects on the body. You can buy special clothes for that. They have special clothes that you can buy to prevent some of the magnetic effects on the body.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
I think the main clinical application that I have with magnetic fields in the body is most magnetic fields will affect hemoglobin that is unoxygenized. It will attract it. Once the oxygen is attached to the hemoglobin, which is the iron molecule, it will repel it. So I think strong magnetic field affects your veins to the point where you will start swelling and cause edema. And then
I think
you were talking about that, I think. I think I heard you say that was one of the side effects. And so sometimes we'll have patients that will come out of an MRI and they'll get some swelling going on, some edema going on, especially in our CHF patients and things like that, because it will, the magnetic fields attract unoxygenized hemoglobin, which is basically four iron molecules, and it will repel the oxygenized hemoglobin, which is your artery carrying blood. You know, most arteries carry your oxygenated blood away from the heart, and the unoxygenated comes back to the heart through the veins. So yeah, so it affects your veins a lot more than it affects your arteries, but by pushing it away and repelling it can also cause compression on your arteries too. So, but the cool thing about the MRI, the magnetic field is not that strong. It just only affects certain people.
Yeah. And that's where I wanted to go. I said, well, I had no real topic to go over tonight. So and then I happened to look it up. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. I was telling Bobby, I looked it up 2 o'clock in the morning. If people can sense, and like I said, they do have them. They're called earth-sensitive people. And it's mostly premenopausal or perimenopausal and postmenopausal women, but there are men that actually can do the same thing. And they can feel earthquakes before they happen or during and not even be in the same area. You know, and that's what we were also talking about, like, weather, and because of arthritis or, you know, any part of the body that could tell you what the weather's going to be next week.
Hey, did you ever have a show on, this is kind of a weird and off topic, but on internal spontaneous combustion, does that really exist?
Oh, internal spontaneous combustion? Oh my God. My dogs are driving my... Okay, is spontaneous... Yeah, I can spell. Combustion. Real. So apparently no. Let me see. I want to make sure because there's more. Okay. So is there such thing as spontaneous human combustion? For combustion not involving the human body, is the pseudoscientific concept that combustion of a living or recently deceased human body without an apparent external source of ignition. In addition to reported cases, descriptions of the alleged phenomenon appear. Let's see. I'm trying to see, read this a little bit here. They say it doesn't, but it says it involves overlooked external sources.
So anyone who ever blows up, needed a spark from external source.
Yeah, it says the recorded cases have these things in common. Victims are chronic alcoholics, usually elderly.
Oh, Bobby, we're in trouble.
The body has not burned spontaneously, but some lighted substance has come in contact with it. The hands and feet usually fall off, and the fire is caused by very little damage to combustible things in contact with the body. And the combustion of the body has left a residue of greasy and fetid ashes, and usually it stinks like nasty. So there are some cases, but they're still trying to see if they're actual spontaneous. They're saying it's got to have something to do, like, for the ignition tip. I would say a person with a petrified liver from being a chronic alcoholic might do the trick. But now, Weathers, on the other hand, he drinks Trulies and White Claw, so that don't count. and I know he's not listening, so I could say whatever I want. But yeah, I mean, that's, but what I don't get is why the hands and feet would fall off. Would it be because so much pressure, it would make them like shoot off, like, because they're just attached by hinges, by your joint?
I don't know. I don't know. End arterial is the only thing I could think of.
But yeah, it's supposedly, that's still one of those arguments that people, also, if the person's already deceased, don't you have, or I don't know if everyone does, a buildup of gases in the body? That's why they drain the blood? I mean, or is that just another scientific bullshit thing?
No. If they don't embalm them, yeah, they'll feel full of gases. They'll even explode. But
okay,
because of the gases. But it's usually the abdominal cavity. Their abdominal cavity will fill full of gas, and then it'll explode because of the pressure inside. But it doesn't catch fire unless there's an external ignition source, I would think.
Yeah, and that, well, see, I know whales will do that, but well, they
and most
like
of the time that's
fire,
methane.
But
methane is, yeah, methane is you know, it is explosive, so it's usually methane buildup.
But yeah, that's what it. That's a. What was the other one? What was the question you asked about the poles?
About the lines of lines
okay.
of flux, lines of flux. Yeah, lines of flux. I mean, is there different magnetic attraction on the body based upon your latitude or longitude?
Let's see.
I mean, how does the compass know to point north?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see, the metaphysical effects of pole reversal. It says magnetic fields of lava. By analyzing the magnetic fields of lava, we can determine that the last magnetic pole reversal. I don't care about that.
Look for the magnetic lines of flux. FLUX.
Okay. Come on. Magnetic line what?
Of flux. FLUX.
Oh, okay. Computer. Okay. Scientific magnetic field line. This is from Thought Company, a science tech site.
I know why you're not finding it. It's got to be, you gotta Google the Earth's magnetic lines of flux. Because, I mean, there's all kinds of flux.
Let's talk about the magnetic field line. Our visual representation of the invisible lines of force and the magnetic fields. Okay. Let me look up.
Yeah, it's a pretty deep subject, Colonel. We should probably just move on.
Hey, you know, we only have 15 minutes left, so we could bullshit the rest of the way out of this one. So the magnetic lines of flux. Hold on. Hold on, I need to back it up for the Earth. Affect people. No. doesn't affect people.
Oh, cool. So I guess we can move to Alaska then, Bob.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it says a magnetic field surrounds any electrical charge in motion. The magnetic field is continuous and invisible, but its strength and orientation may be represented by magnetic field lines. Ideally, magnetic field lines or magnetic flux lines show the strength and orientation of a magnetic field. But no, that's what I was saying. I mentioned way, way at the beginning. It does not affect I'll go right back to that same article. It was the right article. But the thing about the pole reversal, that's going to be a doozy. Because if the pole reversal goes beyond a certain point, it can affect, or it will affect, volcanoes and the fault lines. And it could cause major catastrophic problems for the Earth.
Yeah, when I was in the Navy, we used them to find submarines.
Ah, but no, supposedly it doesn't, so...
cool beans.
That one other article that I had read said that they performed studies on magnetic fields in the northern hemisphere, and now they're going to do it in the southern hemisphere because they got to make sure they get the same results, or you know, very skewed results, because they did a test on 34 people, a group of 34 people. 25% of them were affected by the magnetic field that could sense things, and so they had to redo the study in the southern hemisphere to make sure that it's not just something, you know. So it's all
Hey Bob, you remember in the Navy when we flush the toilet, the northern hemisphere would spin clockwise, and then we go to the southern hemisphere and the toilet would spin counterclockwise?
Actually, that's what they're talking about on one of those articles. That's what I had read. That one thing, and you could watch it, and it'll turn. It's like, okay. But
and when you're at the equator, it just went straight down. Just kidding, guys.
Just kidding.
Hey, look, guys, I have to go. I got some patients I need to tend to, but, you know, God bless you guys, and it's been a pleasure being on your show.
You
well,
too,
you.
Brother. Thank you for coming on again.
I had to change it up and get out of, almost out of all of health stuff, but it's hard coming up with show ideas sometimes.
You keep it going. You're doing a great job, Colonel.
Oh, thank you.
You make us think.
And thank you when you come on, too, because, you know, I learn a lot, too. So, and
well,
it makes
I,
it kind
I,
of
I
like,
hope,
oh, I didn't think about that.
I
hope
enjoy
the young lady,
listening to both of you. I think you're both
yeah,
great.
Thank you, man. I hope that ear gets better, man. If not, get a hold of me, and I'll tell you what to do.
I will. It's actually, the medicine's already starting to work. It's definitely feeling better, and I got a heating pad to, you know, I'm putting it on heat every little bit. But at any rate, again, I appreciate all the information you guys give. It's very useful.
Maria?
And like, huh?
There's always one old wives' tale thing, pee in your ear.
No, let me tell you what my patients do from South America, Maria. Is your name Maria?
Yes, yeah.
What was your Maria? That they will get a cone, like a bullhorn cone out of cardboard or paper, and they'll put that cone in the ear. They'll put that cone in the ear, and then they'll light a fire. And they'll put that cone, other end of that cone, next to the fire, and that heat sucks everything out of the ear. That's the old wives' tale from South America.
My friend does
actually,
that to get the wax out of our ears.
That works. They say it works, but
Yeah, but
yes,
I got some
does.
Idiots who will burn themselves, so I don't recommend it, because I have idiots who will burn themselves.
So there's
hey,
actually a
nice
little...
that's not nice to say
it's
about
a
your
little
wife there, brother.
Yeah, well, it's a cone. You make a cone. You got to keep it away from your ear far enough to where you don't get burned. And then
they say you use a lighter.
Well, I just had somebody else do it. I didn't do it myself. But I do. I have a friend that does that for us periodically to clean out our ears. I never thought about it for anything else.
My friends would probably use a freaking blowtorch, not a lighter. So, you know, I don't recommend that to my patients.
No, someone actually recommended to pee in the ear. And I'm like, no, thanks. Nah. No one's peeing in my ear. I don't even know where. I'm like, you know what? I do know
that urine can be used for some things, as some kind of disinfectant or whatever. I forget what. In an emergency or snake bite or something in an emergency situation. I forget. It's been a long time since I read that. I thought it was disgusting.
Colonel, that only works. The peeing in the ear thing only works when they're filming it on YouTube and I label it under golden showers.
Yeah. Yeah, that shit is never going to happen.
your urine works depending on the pH of the urine at the time, and you never know what it's going to be, whether it's going to be acidic or whether it's going to be alkaline. And so they're saying acidic urine can kill fungus and things like that. Alkaline urine will actually make it grow worse. So don't use urine in your ear, ma'am, please.
Oh, yeah, don't do that. I was just being a smart ass, but, you know, God forbid you're right, because people might actually listen to that and pee in their own ear.
No, I'm not.
They say it works for, like, jellyfish. They say it works for jellyfish stings.
Yes, that's what it is, jellyfish stings. Because of the ammonia or something like that.
Yep, and they same thing about tobacco. Do you know the best thing for jellyfish stings? Vinegar.
Yeah, isn't that why urine, because it has that acidic level or the same acidic level or something?
Normally, but not all people's urine have that acidic level. Some have more alkaline in nature. A lot of times those will be the women with yeast infections.
Oh, I don't get those. Not in decades.
Yeah, but it just depends on the alkalinity of the urine. And that they're trying to make it equivalent to vinegar, and so there you go.
Right. Well, I know you drink lots of water, and I know about the different colors that you want it to be. So,
and the cranberry.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, hold on.
Yeah, we're big on water in my family.
Yeah, but if it tastes sweet, you might be diabetic, right?
Well, actually, I got my in 2 months, I got my A1C down from 8.3 to 7.
Oh, good for you. That's great.
Yes.
I
lost 12
but
pounds.
But you know what? You might want to recheck that, because if you're still having a fungal infection in the ear, then that's probably why your A1C might be going up.
Well, no, I just had it done last week.
Oh, okay, good deal.
But my friend that gave me the homeopathic, she did say to watch my sugar intake. And you know, now that I think about it, for over a month, I've eaten next to no sugar. And the day before yesterday, I had some ice cream, which we know is sugar. Chocolate syrup.
Yeah,
so now that you're mentioning that and what she said.
Yeah, but you know, Maria, you got to reward yourself once in a while for being a good girl. You can't just go blend total.
Yeah, but now we're paying for it.
A good milkshake, Maria. Take 2% milk. Take 2% milk. I had to use lactate. Put it in the blender. Add ice and like vanilla flavor, whatever, and a little bit of sugar because you know it, which is like just like milk. And I blend it, and I made a milkshake today.
I never thought about that. I like agave, or I'll use like only a tiny bit of sugar. I really have been trying to avoid sugar, and I also only have carbs once a day. Actual carbs. Of course, you always have hidden carbs. But
you know me and Bob like agave too, but they call it tequila.
It's tequila.
Well, I have to be careful with my alcohol intake. I'm on a mood stabilizer, and, you know, so I have to be careful on that. I really do the best I can to, you know, take care of my health. I may be old, fat, and a bit diabetic, but I'm pretty damn healthy. My cholesterol is great. My blood pressure is great. No heart issues. You know, I have sleep apnea, but I know skinny people that have sleep apnea, so I'm not, you know, I can walk, I can carry stuff, I'm like, you know, so I'm, knock on wood, God's looking out for my health.
You know what's good about being old, fat, and diabetic, right? That means you're sweet, easy to snuggle with, and you're up all night.
I do get hit on a lot, but I prefer to snuggle with my cat. Less trouble.
You're still alive. That's a good way of looking at it.
Seriously, though, I really do enjoy listening to you, Kim, all the time, and I love it when you come on, Phil, because you always have such, you know, good insight and information. I mean, considering your career, your occupation, that's not surprising, but still, it's really good to hear stuff. Some of it I may already know, a lot of it I don't, so definitely know that you're appreciated.
Thank you. And I do like to blow steam once in a while, too, so don't get me wrong. So, yeah. And like I said, it's good to hear other people's opinions. So do be more vocal in the future, por favor.
Well, usually I am, but right now it's painful to talk. Otherwise, trust me, I'm a talker. Kim will tell you.
I know, me too. Cool, but they used to call me Chatty Cathy Doll when I was a kid.
Well, good night, everybody. Thank you, guys.
Sarah Bernhardt. My mom called me Sarah Bernhardt.
You know, just one more day of Memorial Day. Just remember all those who've fallen before us, guys, and we do appreciate the sacrifice they made.
I've been spreading that around. You know, it really upsets me when people don't, you know, recognize what this is about.
Before we're cut off.
You take care.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
We have 90 seconds. So another great show. Thank you again, Kimberly. Thank you, Maria.
Oh, no problem.
And God bless America. God bless our veterans, our first responders, our troops overseas, and God bless the Defenders 7. Good night.
Good night.